This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes.
Last night in his primetime news conference, President Obama chose a metaphor from science fiction to explain the science of healthcare.
There's a blue pill and a red pill, and the blue pill is half the price of the red pill. And
you take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Why not pay half price for the thing that's going to make you well?
After this, there is no turning back. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
President Obama takes on the healthcare matrix, and we're headed down the rabbit hole of truth here on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It is Thursday, July 23rd. I'm Farai Chidea here with Lynn Scherr. We're filling in today for John Hockenberry. Morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Farai.
On the show today, we're going to look behind the joblessness numbers and bring you real stories of people fighting unemployment. Plus, downloading MP3s is so 1990s. We'll show you a better way that won't take up space on your computer. Right now, let's talk to Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, we just heard a mashup of the president and the pop movie The Matrix. Now, in that movie, the forces for change prevail. But let's get back to reality. How do things look for the president's plan?
Well, good morning, Farai. I think it's going to be a little bit of a longer movie than maybe we expect. Doesn't look like that August deadline is going to be hit, but the president is doing his best to give this one a happy ending. I'm sorry I'm extending the metaphor so far, but he's trying to bring the plot back down to the human level, explain to real people why health reform matters to them, and he's hoping to be the hero, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, Todd, definitely going to talk to you a little bit later. Thanks so much. And Lynn, let me go back to you for everything you need.
Hi, Farai. In the headlines today, the next move for the president is Cleveland. He's touring the Cleveland Clinic, which the Obama administration cites as a healthcare role model. President Obama holds a healthcare town hall after that. Healthcare issues dominated last night's news conference, but the president touched on other issues as well. He answered questions on the racially charged arrest of Harvard scholar Henry Louis Gates, Jr., and on financial regulation. We'll have a conversation about all of this coming up.
And we'll take a fresh look at the economy later this morning. The latest weekly unemployment numbers coming out. We'll bring them to you in context when they do. Also, North Korea says no thanks to new talks on nukes. This comes at a regional summit in Thailand. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is there. She says Pyongyang has, quote, no friends left, unquote, to shield it from further punishment.
Also overseas, Vice President Joe Biden is abroad in Georgia today. That country's president is expected to ask for weapons, and U.S. observers fearing more trouble with Russia.
All right, let's take a look at some of the financial markets. Wall Street didn't move much yesterday. The Dow started trading at 88.81, the S&P at 9.54, the NASDAQ at 19.26. All right, President Obama had his say last night. Now it is your turn. Did you hear what you wanted from the president? Were you convinced on health care? Or do you still have questions and concerns? Tell us what your takeaway was from Obama by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
If we do not control these costs, we will not be able to control our deficit. If we do not reform health care, your premiums and out-of-pocket costs will continue to skyrocket. If we don't act, 14,000 Americans will continue to lose their health insurance every single day. These are the consequences of inaction.
President Obama last night at his primetime press conference, taking his case for health care directly to the public. Were you watching? Were you convinced? And will it be enough to win over a less than cooperative Congress? The Takeaway's Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick, was there. He helps us analyze what happened. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, did he get the votes?
Right. I can tell you definitely yes or definitely no. The president is trying to get votes. It's actually a good question. You know, the last few weeks, as I think a lot of people have noticed, this whole debate has gotten into the sphere of politics, some attacks, a lot of criticism over the cost of this plan. It is going to be around $1 trillion. It's a lot of money, especially when you consider stimulus and TARP and budget and all of the other money that's been spent. So I think the president was really doing his best to try to bring the debate back down to the level of you and me, the regular person, middle class voter. What is this? He even said that. What does this mean to me?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
What dog do I have in this fight? He talked about people's premiums. He talked about their family budgets. He talked about their bottom line and their health care. And that's the power of the presidency. He gets to command a microphone for an hour in prime time and try to remind people why we're doing this, and also, frankly, remind people why the public overwhelmingly support Democrats when it comes to health care,
and why
overwhelmingly they support the president when it comes to health care. I think the White
House
thinks
and Todd
a lot of people have forgotten
for Todd,
why they
say,
support the president on this, and they do. So he needs to remind them that they actually think that he's the guy on this.
Okay, Todd, and bringing his case directly to the people, as you say. The president also said in his press conference, this will not add to the deficit, and I mean it, and he also said this.
If I see a proposal that is primarily funded through taxing middle-class families, I'm going to be opposed to that.
Okay, Todd, so how's he going to pay for it?
Right. Well, the president actually made a little bit of news last night. You know, he was straddling two lines. One was this message we just talked about for the American people. The other was a message I think that was tailored for inside Washington and the debate that's going on right now, trying to influence it. The president made a little bit of news right there by saying that he would agree to this proposal to have sort of an independent commission that polices Medicare, a group of experts that polices Medicare and looks for places to cut costs and has the power to do it. Now, we had heard on the Hill that the White House was going to support that. He explicitly did, and that's going to satisfy a lot of those conservative blue dog Democrats who are concerned about cost.
Okay. Thanks, Todd. Stand by, please. Also watching the president last night was Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, associate professor of medicine at Harvard and co-director of the Harvard Medical School General Internal Medical Fellowship Program. She is co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program. Welcome, Dr. Woolhandler. And let me ask you, as a healthcare professional, what stood out to you the most from the president's remarks last night?
Well, most of what he said wasn't true. There's nothing in his plan that will actually control costs. His cost control measures are what some people have called faith-based cost control. They're things that the Congressional Budget Office has said will not save money. So he's not going to control cost. His plan will not fix private health insurance. Private health insurance is a defective consumer product that leaves people at risk for bankruptcy. Even if they have the private insurance throughout an illness, often people are bankrupted by gaps in coverage like co-payments, deductibles, and uncovered services. And while the president talked a lot about blocking insurance companies from canceling your policy, which is a step forward, it does not fix defective insurance, and insurance is still going to be full of gaps and still not going to keep the American people protected from bankruptcy in the event of serious illness.
Finally, let me interrupt you just a second, Doctor. Let me play a cut from one of the things the president talked about. He was talking about people getting bankrupted, as you're discussing.
This is about the woman in Colorado who paid $700 a month to her insurance company, only to find out that they wouldn't pay a dime for her cancer treatment, who had to use up her retirement funds to save her own life. This is about the middle-class college graduate from Maryland, whose health insurance expired when he changed jobs and woke up from the emergency surgery that he required with $10,000 worth of debt.
Now, you're saying, Dr. Steffi Woolhandler at Harvard, that that his numbers somehow don't add up. The examples he uses, are these not legitimate to talk about the problem?
Well, the examples are of people who you know, had had their insurance canceled in one case or had really fraudulent insurance in the other. But the standard insurance product that most people have is an umbrella full of holes. That is, if you have a really serious illness, you'll still be bankrupted, even if you keep the standard private insurance policy. We know that because we just completed a study of 2,300 people in federal bankruptcy courts, which I think is the basis of the president's and many people's understanding of medical bankruptcy. And it turned out that most people who were bankrupted by illness had private health insurance. In fact, most of them had health insurance throughout the illness that bankrupted them. It wasn't a problem of a cancellation. It was a problem that they had the standard policy that many of us have, but it was full of co-payments, deductibles, uncovered services that left you bankrupted anyway, even if you kept the insurance. So he has not fixed the problem of medical bankruptcy with this, and he has not fixed the problem that private health insurance is a defective product.
So let me just ask, I hear you are very critical of what his program is. Was there any part of it last night that you do buy, or is there any part of it that you do support?
Well, the one thing he said I agreed with was he said if you want 100% coverage, you have to go to single payer. And that's true both because single payer automatically enrolls everyone, but also because single payer is the only affordable way to cover people, because with a single payer, you get rid of private insurance, you get rid of the administrative waste and overhead that having 1,500 different insurance companies brings into the system. You save about $400 billion annually on overhead and paperwork, and then you can use that money to cover everyone and improve the coverage of people who now have these defective private policies that are full of holes.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Willhandler. Well, healthcare was not the only headline last night. Turning now to David Wall Rice, assistant professor, a professor of psychology at Morehouse College. We spoke to you, Mr. Rice, yesterday about the arrest of Henry Louis Gates Jr., and last night the president was asked about that incident.
I think it's fair to say, number one, any of us would be pretty angry. Number two, that the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof that they were in their own home.
But what did you really think, Mr. President? David Wall Rice, what is the relevance of this question being addressed by the president?
I think it's highly relevant. I think one thing that it does is it gives some credence to the issue of the possibility of racial profiling. I think, of course, the blow quote is that the Cambridge police acted stupidly. But I think that the president also explained that race still haunts us. I think that's something that's very important to outline. And one thing that he also said is that there was an indisputable fact that blacks and Hispanics are stopped by law enforcement disproportionately. So I think that one thing that he was able to do, and at the very end, what he was able to do was he was able to humanize the experience a little bit more. He was able to address it head on. And one thing that he allows is for there to be a sobering extension of the conversation. So I think it was very important for him to be able to talk about in that world stage.
Were you surprised that's essentially the second headline, and in some cases the first headline out of this news conference? The president did it, of course, to talk about health care. There were one or two other questions, almost nothing. The press corps sort of went along with his agenda except for that one question.
Yeah, I think I was pleasantly surprised. I'm not surprised it's a headline, obviously. And I think that, I think that, again, pleasantly surprised would be my reaction. I think that, you know, again, he addressed the issue. I don't think it would be a question that wouldn't be asked of somebody if it weren't a black man. I mean, obviously, President Obama is a black man. I think that it gives it some more relevance because he's a black man, and it shows the possibilities that can extend in terms of racial reconciliation with him in the powerful seat that he sits in.
Just curious, do you think his comment that the Cambridge police, and I quote, acted stupidly, is going to come back to hit him in the face at any point?
I think it could, but if you look at the transcript and if you listen to it again, he said that they acted stupidly, and he separated that from a racial component.
Okay, thank you so very much. David Wall Rice, back again, assistant professor of psychology at Morehouse College. I have a feeling we'll be talking to you even more. And on healthcare, our own Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway, who was at the news conference last night, Dr. Steffi Willhandler from Harvard University. Thanks to all of you for joining in.
Thank you.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.